Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, Episode 22, Preparing for the Ironman Ride. Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, practical triathlon advice for everyday athletes. Not just the disc wheels, but the spokey dokies as well.
Oh, it's a while since I've seen one of those on a race course.
Yeah, I might be stretching it a bit there, but yeah, the Ironman ride, that's what we're all about this time round.
Yeah, it gets a bit serious for the spokey dokies. I don't think there's many people who would dare front up with those on the bike.
Yeah, and it'd be a little bit embarrassing as they went past you. Yeah, not the woom woom of the disc wheel, more of a tick 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 tick. Yeah. Slightly more serious matter, a little bit of a team update before we plough on. So, Tauranga Half last weekend.
Yeah, weekend just gone. Fairly typical conditions by the sound of it there, that a bit of breeze on the bike, getting pretty damn warm on the run, and everyone loved the set of stairs on the run.
Nothing like a new feature or an innovation. Well, not really an innovation. They were there for practical reasons, but yeah, that would test the legs on the run.
For sure.
Yeah, and a good good turnout from the Smithies?
Yeah, had a good crew up there. Had a couple of people doing the enduro for the first time. And loved it. Loved the distance. Loved the doing something a little bit different.
Enduro being three-quarter Ironman different distance-ish?
Yeah, ish.
Okay.
So yeah, just that little bit longer, which is great. And I'm sure that's going to grow in popularity over time as well.
Yeah. And performances then, of interest.
Yeah, so I've got to recognise Caroline for your second place age group position. So fantastic. Congrats for that. And yeah, had various people do... Hitting great results for themselves, be it overall swim, bike, or a run. So yeah, great to see, and just it's amazing how we have people going to every event, and there's always more learnings shared amongst the team. It's so good to see.
So for some people, it was their sort of A event. For some people, another stepping stone towards Ironman.
Yep, that's right.
And which brings us nicely on to this weekend. Yeah, don't worry, it's not Ironman this weekend. possibly harder than that. It's one of your famous camps.
Yeah, and we're doing an extra day this time for a lot of people. We're going one step bigger. So off to Taupo for a long weekend of training. Plenty of time on the course, in the lake. Extra sessions as well. So it's going to be a big weekend. But a lot of learnings, a lot of great experience comes from it in the lead up to Ironman.
Yeah, and that getting in the lake, I know we won't talk too much about our last episode, but it was about the swim component of Ironman. If you're really that interested, there's lots of information, so certainly go back to episode 21. But yeah, being up there this weekend, great chance to get in the water and see some of those things that you see at the bottom and just get used to that.
And that's it for the people who haven't spent either much time in the open water or in the lake. Just we're going to be in there every day, so it's just a great opportunity to build the confidence and the familiarity with the environment we'll be in.
Yeah, fantastic. And of course, there's going to be a bunch of biking while you're up there, and that's really what this episode's all about. You know, once you're out in the water in Ironman, it's onto the bike.
Yeah, and it's the thing that takes the biggest time out of the day for most people, and it's where we do most of our training. And whenever we go on camp, they're always bike-centric because that's where you can do the most training, get the most fitness with pretty much the least risk of injury.
Yeah, and again, it's that percentage of improvement. If it's 10% on the bike, that's a bigger chunk than 10% on the run or 10% in the water. Yeah. So, yeah, superb. So a bit like last time on the swim, if we can talk about some of the things that are relevant to everybody, and then maybe focus a little bit on some of the things that are specific to the sort of day someone is hoping to have or planning to have.
For sure.
Yeah, so let's start at the beginning. It's, you know, when you start.
Yeah.
Key thoughts?
Key thoughts is you should feel like you're going too easy. It feels really wrong because you're well warmed up from swimming. There's a bunch of other people out there getting excited along the lakefront, up the first hill. There's spectators really giving you plenty of support. And it's really hard not to get caught up in that. So you want to be thinking, it should be feeling too easy at this stage. It should feel wrong. And as I say to the people when we go to camp, there is no such thing as going too easy up the Napier Taupo Hill first time.
Yeah, and certainly from experience in some halves and one Ironman, it's you do get a bit excited along the lakefront because it's nice tar seal, just beautiful, and there's that hum. But yeah, when you turn the corner to head up that hill, I think you just got to spin a little, get some more blood into the legs, and it's a chance to take a drink as well. Yeah. And if you think about taking some fuel on at that point, it will slow you down a little bit, which is actually not a bad thing either.
Totally.
Because it seems to go on for a little bit longer than you expect, that hill.
Yeah, well, from the time you leave transition, it's almost 10Ks to the top of the hill. And sure, it's not all steep, hard climbing, but if you start a little bit hard, and the hills force you to work a bit harder anyway, by the time you've been doing 10K of that, that starts to take a chunk out of the energy levels that you'll be wanting at the end of the day.
Yeah, so the lesson is don't burn too many matches in that first sort of 10, first sort of 10K.
Yeah, most definitely.
But everybody who's doing it has had lots and lots of time out on the road, surely.
Yes, yep. But there's still, I was just having a chat to someone this morning who's still trying to figure out what his Ironman effort is. Because if you have a power meter, it's just a no-brainer. Mm. We can work it out quite precisely. If you have heart rate, then you've got a range to keep it in. But if you're just going by feel, then it is a hard thing to gauge.
And you're looking for sort of consistent, smooth, feeling smooth,
yeah,
I think.
That's it.
Those ups and downs probably sap energy unnecessarily.
Bingo. Yeah. Those either hills that you push too hard or the short, hard bursts kind of on and off, they really do sap the energy.
Yeah.
And when I've talked before about the run-walk strategy and how it's so good to have breaks on the run, really let the muscles relax, recover a bit, it's actually the opposite on the bike. We don't want to have too many breaks because you imagine if you're just riding along on the flat, every time you stop pedaling, you slow down.
Mm.
And then the energy cost of getting you back up to speed is much higher than holding that speed.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that's why we really want to have smooth, consistent riding all of the way.
Would you, if you do want to give your legs a little bit of a, even if it's just a 10, 15 second rest, mm-hmm. wait till you're going downhill?
Bingo, perfect.
That's okay. And you can still keep your legs turning over.
Yeah.
Just there would almost be no power going through the pedals.
Yeah.
Rather than keeping your legs stationary, which probably, does it give them maybe some lactic acid might build up or whatever. So at least keep them spinning.
Yes.
But certainly feel like you're a... It's not you that's pushing the bike forward. Spinning.
Ooh, yeah, like and you think about a hill, that a really steep downhill, you can't, in your hardest gear, you can't pedal hard enough to generate any meaningful power. So absolutely, just let it roll down.
Yeah, and almost be in that gear that you're then going to slip into as you get back to that smooth speed.
That's it. Just smoothly come out of the bottom of it, carry on.
Rather than, again, click, click, clicking, depending what sort of bike you're on, obviously... You know, if you've got gearing at the end of aero bars, that's a little bit easier. But and speaking of aero bars,
yes,
staying aero is clearly the reason you have aero bars is for aerodynamics. They're a good thing.
Absolutely, and I've always thrown some rough numbers around, so I went and actually quantified it this afternoon, using just knowing about how I ride, and I can do calculations on different riding styles. So I said, okay, if I'm riding the aero bars, how long will the Ironman course take me? And if I ride it all upright, as if I'm on a road bike, it came out to be 20 minutes longer. So you imagine if you've got aero bars, but you can't really use them that well, there's a really big missed opportunity there.
Yeah. So 20 minutes, just to put that into a bit more context, what would you do it in... aero position, you know, with aero bars.
So that was based on around 5 hours 40 in aero bars.
So you'd be 6 hours.
6 hours without.
Yeah. And okay.
Yeah, that's 20 minutes more time, 20 minutes more energy burned. And that was not riding any different level of effort.
Yeah.
The same level of effort applied in both of those scenarios. Yeah. Just the extra drag of sitting upright slows you down by 20 minutes. Quite substantial.
And I don't have a power meter on my bike, but I certainly remember dropping into aero position even when I just had clip-on aero bars, and at what felt like the same perceived effort, all of a sudden you're a couple of 3 kilometres an hour faster.
That's it, exactly.
So it does work, but you've got to practice that position. If you're going to be in it for a long time, if you haven't practiced being in it for a long time, it really can, you know, lower back, shoulders, neck.
Yes.
So, and I know this from experience, because I almost rode the whole second leg of a half Ironman like I was on a penny farthing, because my shoulders just wasn't adapted. So, you know, good bike fit and practice.
Yeah, you've got to be comfortable enough to hold it, and then you've got to practice holding it. And you've still got 6 weeks to do that. That's a lot of riding time where you could be spending a lot of time on the aero bars.
Yeah. Now, the aero position may not be applicable to every part of the course, and I remember that sort of ride back up towards the racetrack.
Yeah.
I know the last sort of 10K, 12K is downhill back into town, but that last climb on the second time round, a little bit, it can test you.
Yeah, it sure can. And that's, again, another reason that the first time you go up the hill, you want to keep it a little bit on the easy side, because the second time on your way home, when you've already ridden 160K and you come into that final hill that's almost 10K long to climb up, man, that can hurt. So, yeah, really recognise that hill is going to be there at the end. You're going to be tired. Just mentally being ready for it is so important.
Yeah, and again, one person's experience, I found it not too bad first time. Second time, oh, gee.
Yeah,
it was a test. And it had got warmer.
Yes.
You know, it was another...
That's it.
I can't figure out the maths. You know, it might have been 2.5, 3 hours later in the day, and I'm going up that hill again, and, it was testing.
Yeah.
Some of the... Again, we've talked about this before, knowing the drafting rules. There's been a few questions asked, but, yeah, they'll be out there on their motorbikes and their high-vis, just keeping an eye on you.
Yep, they sure will. And the rule at Ironman is different at different events, but a 12-metre gap between your front wheel and the front wheel of the person in front of you. And that's quite a decent amount of space that when you actually pace it out and work it out, it's a big gap. So be aware of it and know what it is.
Yeah, and if in doubt, get a big tape measure out at home and just get an idea of visually what it looks like.
Yeah.
Because the last thing you need is someone holding up a card or suggesting that you need to go and take a bit of a break.
At the Taupo Half a few years ago, they actually had a big banner printed up, and it was on the side of the transition area, so you could actually see it as you were walking in there. And most people go, "Oh, wow, it's quite a long way, isn't it?"
So look out for that. It may well be there again.
Yeah.
We've talked about the bike. It's the rolling buffet.
Yeah.
So, you know, whilst you're thinking about all that other stuff and worrying about hills and aero position, you need to eat.
Yeah, eat and drink. Just, again, consistently throughout the day. And, again, for the team that we've got guidelines about roughly how much you need to take in. But the big thing is just to do it, drip feed it in consistently over the day. Don't try and jam it all in and then realise it's been an hour since you did the last lot.
Yeah, and I think with aid stations, depending on your expectations for the day, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, if you need to stop and swap a drink bottle with someone that's handing out the bottles and make sure you get that extra nutrition, it is time well spent.
Yeah, it sure is.
If you think, oh, I missed it, it's all right, I'll just bomb on, well, you may actually bomb completely.
Yeah.
So, you know, make sure. It's the one thing that you can absolutely control.
Yes.
Is your nutrient, what you put in your mouth.
Bang on.
Yeah. Too early for the to look at the weather forecast, Gerard. But there will be weather. Yeah, there will be weather.
Guaranteed. And that was Tony Jackson, who used to do the first timers talk. He'd done, I can't remember how many it was now. Every Ironman event, New Zealand event up to a point in time, and he used to do the first timers. He said, "Don't worry about the weather. There is always weather every year. Yeah. Sometimes it's warm, sometimes it's cold, sometimes it's rain. We always have weather."
And hopefully, without putting yourself at risk, you've all practiced in plenty of weather. And if you're from Wellington, you've certainly practiced in the wind and probably the rain, not so much the heat.
Yeah.
So, just be prepared and think about what you might need in your transition bag. Though, you're going to have to pack that, you know, in the days leading up.
But
so have something in there just in case.
Is that you can make your decisions a couple of days ahead of time, and then it's made. You don't have to overthink it to the last minute.
Yeah,
decisions are made. But yeah, just being ready to adjust based on that weather.
Yeah.
Do you need to drink a little bit more? Do you need a warm layer? Whatever it might be.
Yeah. No. Fantastic. And thinking about some of those other things that might happen, punctures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, out of the whole field, there's a very small number of people who get punctures. But imagine how pissy you'd be if you got that puncture and you just couldn't change it.
So it'd
be really frustrating. So it's, again, something that you can 100% control. If you're not comfortable with changing punctures, go and practice.
And it does. It sometimes it seems, I don't want to practice taking this tire off and doing this and doing that. But well worth it. So those are some general, general bits of advice, bits of information for everyone. A bit like last time on the swim, sort of three categories. You've talked about those looking to complete, and then those that are looking to challenge, and then the perform people. Maybe some specifics about people that fall into those criteria, starting with those that, dare I say it, will have a longer day. Just looking to complete. Some thoughts about the bike for them.
Yeah, so realistically, if you're just out there to complete, you could be a bike ride somewhere around the 8 hour range. And to ride 8 hours, it needs an average speed of 22.5 kilometres an hour. So you've just got to have the confidence that you can ride at that speed on your own, not drafting, and just recognise that there will be, the hills will slow you down at times, the aid stations you might stop at to hop off and go to the toilet, have a stretch and a break, but your average, your basic riding speed needs to be a bit higher, but the time out there, sustain 22.5 k's over the whole ride.
And
that's very doable for most people.
And applicable not just to the complete people, but to everyone, the ability to consume food and drink through that time.
Yeah, that's right.
That will get you through that time.
And you don't need to be jamming it down at when you're out there for that long. But again, just keep it consistent, because if you have those big dips in energy and you slow down, that's suddenly taking a chunk of your time.
Yeah. And the other thing, I think the last one on that is the normal distribution curve. They're going to be towards the tail end of the field. It can get a little bit lonely because there's some big gaps. Mental fortitude is almost as important as physical prowess in that situation.
Yeah, I guess being ready to entertain yourself for the day.
The sort of human Spotify channel, just sing a few songs and
most definitely. And the great thing is you see people coming back the other way. Realistically, when you're on the bike, it doesn't matter where you're on the field, you're not chatting to people too much, but there are going to be fewer people around you, passing fewer people just to say good day to and everything like that. So the mental fortitude, like you said.
Fantastic. Sort of the next level, the middle of the normal distribution curve, where most people reside.
The biggest chunk of people fall into this range, and it's with a bike time of somewhere around 6 to 7 hours.
Yep.
And the big thing with this is that you're riding a little bit faster than the complete people, and so you've got to have a bit more of an idea about your race effort. And race effort makes it sound like it's something fast, but again, keep coming back to, it's not fast. It's just your basic endurance training level effort. And the cue that I've always used for that is you can breathe through your nose. You can close your mouth. You can breathe through your nose in and out for several minutes.
Yeah.
If you can write, that's the level of effort you should be riding at for Ironman.
Yeah, yeah. It's 6 or 7 hours is still a long time, so you don't want to be gasping as you're going along.
That's for sure.
Probably risk catching some local insects along the way. that's a really good one. That in through the mouth, was it? Out through the nose?
Mouth closed, just, in and out through the nose.
Okay, nose.
Yeah.
And similar to the complete people, looking to avoid those the ups and downs of I suppose effort.
Yeah, well, the complete people realistically are going to have a few more because they're going to have some stops and going to be getting tired, have a few breaks while they're on the bike. We're looking for a bit more consistency, making sure there's not the big peaks and troughs for the challenge people, that you're just consistent all day long.
And everybody will have a race plan. Mm. Again, sticking to that race plan and not getting sort of carried away by the event or someone who goes past you and you think, oh, hang on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when you come out of the swim, because everyone's a different speed in the swim and then everyone's a different speed on the bike. So if there are people passing you, the immediate thought is, oh, I should be keeping up. But hey, they might be uber biker, but terrible swimmer.
Yeah.
So your plan, your race, you do it your way.
Yeah. And again, it is a little bit rinse and repeat because the applicability on the bike is quite similar.
Mm.
But you know, that nutrition plan needs to be proven.
Yes. Yep. That's right. That you've got plenty of opportunities in your long rides to really think about, test out, know the products that you like, know how much you're going to have, know that it sits well on the stomach.
Yeah.
And you can put in just about anything when you're riding at that level of effort on the bike, but you want to make sure when you get off the bike and you start running, the stomach is still okay.
Yeah. Try not to take anything new. Just take something that the stomach's aware of.
Yeah.
And has tested before, yeah. And then at the pointy end.
Yeah.
So I don't know what where you're going to be, Gerard. It'll be interesting to see, but at the performance...
Don't talk me up, Doug.
There's no pictures on a podcast. So at that performance level, you know, these sort of 5 hour bike time,
yeah,
sorts of people.
Yeah, the bike times start with a five. So whether you're at the really fast five end or kind of a bit further back, you're still at the faster end of the field.
Yeah, so these people are about a really solid, sustained, dare I say, hard bike, but still able to run off it.
Yeah, yeah. And realistically, it's still not that hard a bike. That in most cases, these people are still at the level where they could breathe through the nose.
Right.
It's just kind of maybe forcing the air a little bit harder in and out of the nose, mm-hmm, rather than the challenged people who it's quite relaxed and comfortable.
Yeah.
But it's still, you're still not racing. You could certainly ride much harder over that distance if you were only riding.
Yeah.
But you are controlling it because you're setting up for the run.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about trying not to have too many time-based race goals, but yeah, at this level, without doubt, there is probably a very specific race plan in place that will have a time component.
Yeah, and there's probably an expectation, because chances are you've done Ironman or some halves before, to have a good understanding of what your capabilities are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. And absolutely, you know, the mind is on it.
Yeah.
From first pedal to first rotation to last rotation. You don't really take in the scenery and look out for other competitors and give them a nod or a wave,
yeah,
too much.
Yeah, and that's it. You look at the pro race, and that's exactly how it is. It is game faces on, that they are in their zone doing their thing. No distractions.
Yeah.
And I've heard Cam Brown say a couple of times that he feels bad about that because there's so much support for him, but it's what he needs to do to have his best performance.
Yeah.
And so that's at that end of the field. The further back in the field you go, then realistically you're not going to be that level of intensity and concentration. But you do have to have the mental strength to really push yourself throughout at this level.
Yeah. What if you need a toilet stop? Do you not?
Well, what you do is you take some lessons from Mr. Warren Sue about peeing on the bike.
Okay.
He is our squad expert on the matter, so if anyone wants to know the... dare I say it, the ins and outs.
Yeah, I think it's more about the outs, but yeah.
Yeah, but the people at the perform level, they're out there, they're pushing for the pretty strong result, so they're not going to waste a moment. You are going to pee on the bike rather than stop. It's every second counts.
Yeah, and if it is something you are practicing or have practiced, if you just do it on your own, that would be fantastic. Yeah, excellent. So, a little bit of a summary. You know, I know some of the stuff was sort of repetitive, but I think there's a little bit of some unique bits for whichever level you sort of see yourself falling into.
And I think the biggest thing to take away is that if you're at the complete end, then you're pretty relaxed about things. Okay, you're just doing enough to get through it. If you're at the perform end, you're a lot more focused and intentional about everything you do.
Yeah.
And the challenge is somewhere in between that.
Yeah. So, you know, at all of them, in summary, you know, the things that they've practiced on the longest rides, the long rides, are those things that are going to be relevant to race day, being the nutrition, that consistency of, I don't want to say speed, but consistency of effort.
Yes.
And yeah, the whole staying in the aero position.
Yeah, that's right. And every long ride is an opportunity to practice those things. Mm. So if you're not entirely sure of what your plan is around the bike yet, then use those long rides every time. Go out and figure out what you want to try. Did it work? Learn something from it.
Yeah. Superb. So, well, I hope people listen. I don't know what our listenership is these days. We're not
huge worldwide.
Yeah. But if you haven't listened, Gerard will tell you it on Thursday when you get to camp. So, yeah, some really good stuff on the bike. And next time we'll talk about the dreaded run.
Brilliant. Thanks, Doug.
Cheers.